This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live from the PetroServe USA studios, this is What's on Your Mind. Call us 701-271-1100. Text us 701-237-1590. What's on your mind is on. And now here's your host, Scott Henning.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place. For the stars and stripes and the eagle flies.
Another hour of What's on Your Mind. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Later this hour, we're going to chat with a professor of psychiatry at Stanford University School of Medicine, who's written a book called Dopamine Addiction, Dopamine Nation, rather. She's talking about us, Dopamine Nation, and the reason it is a Dopamine Nation is because we're addicted to our digital devices. She was here recently at a Dakota Medical Foundation summit and talking about this topic. 300-400 people in the room, I forget. It was just a great event, and I want to recap that a little bit, break down her talk with that about digital addiction, and hopefully give us some tips as well. So looking forward to that. As we promised, this hour we're going to talk about the North Dakota Republican Party. And the chairwoman, Sandy Sanford, is here to talk about all things North Dakota GOP. She's the keynote speaker at the monthly luncheon called Politics and a Plate, which benefits the Cass County Republicans. And always a wonderful event. Get a chance to get there. They bring in good speakers, and you're welcome to come today. Holiday Inn, right? Is that where it's at today?
It is actually at the Avalon.
Oh, it's the Avalon. I knew that, too. It used to be at the Holiday Inn all the time. Yep, it's at the Avalon.
It's at the Avalon. Yeah.
Good spot. So head over there today for lunch if you want to take in Politics and Plate. Sandy Sanford, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Happy to be here. This is fun.
So how long now has it been since you've been chair?
Oh, my goodness. June 16th.
Okay.
So just over, 60 days?
And it was a contentious election. In the sense that it was very close, I guess, right? And there was battles back and forth between the current chair and Perry Schaefer and yourself, and ended up being pretty much a wholesale change in leadership for the GOP. How's it been going so far?
Well, it's going great. It's going great. I've had the last few months to get to know the new officers, and people were ready to run. I mean, we're doing good work, and we're basically taking the baton from where the previous chairman and officers, the work that they did up to that point was wonderful. We're just taking the baton and we're running, and we haven't stopped, and we're doing great work.
Was there repair work necessary? Was there sort of building bridges? I know you talked about bringing people together as part of your pitch to the GOP chairs to become a chairwoman. Has there been a lot of, is there a rift in the party?
Well, there's a rift in the party, but this is not unique to the state of North Dakota. This is nationwide. This is a nationwide, polarization break. But in regards to the state GOP, when I campaigned, this was an internal campaign where I visited with the 47 district chairs in the state of North Dakota and got to know those people. And it was an exercise in listening over a 3-week time period. And I do think that there were some concerns, maybe transparency was a concern, trust, things of that nature. So those are the issues that I'm trying to tackle, immediately. So trying to continue to visit with those chairs, get to know them. I want to know what their needs are. Of course, we want to be transparent and careful as far as the office goes. But yeah, those were some of the concerns. But a rift, that's nationwide.
Right.
To be clear.
So in North Dakota, that rift, if you will, is who's on one side and who's on the other? Explain to me the sides here, if you will.
Wow. Okay. Well, I would say in the last 60 days, my observation is people like to paint it as there's this tent and we have two groups that are kind of, clashing, the far right or the far left of the big tent. That is simply not true. That's a false narrative. there are many factions under this large tent that we, you know, this large Republican tent. I mean, we have Ronald Reagan Republicans, Tea Party Republicans, Rand Paul Republicans. You know, we have Billy Graham Republicans and NRA Republicans. It is not that simple to say that there are just two factions. And there are a lot of people in the middle that have maybe decided to choose a team on the two loud factions. But that's just temporary. That's due to conflict. And sometimes they feel that, you know, in a controversy that you have to have a team. But no, there's far more people that are standing in the middle and are simply not being heard.
If you have a question or comment for Sandy Sanford, North Dakota Republican Party Chair, you can call us at 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. Also welcome your text, as we always do, at 701-237-1590. Emails easy, studio@flyingfamily.com. What will you talk about today? When you're out on the stump talking about the North Dakota Republican Party, what's the message you're conveying to folks?
Well, number one, I am starting off the presentation. You know, we have President Biden in office, and the country is off the tracks. And the goal of North Dakota, as well as across the nation, is to get a Republican in office in 2024. And so I think that's the overall arching message. You know, I'm coming into Fargo, and I need Fargo people to get to know me. I do believe there's been you know, people like to brand, and there's been some false narratives in regards to this, the new officers that have come into the GOP.
What do they say?
Well, number one, I think that there's been these false narratives that have painted the new officers that have come in as maybe too far to the right or too conservative. Conservative has become almost a derogatory word in the Republican Party, and that's just simply not fair. You know, a conservative young Republican is somebody with new ideas. They're innovative. They may have strong family values. They may support the platform. But why is that derogatory? I mean, the Republican tent is huge and it's big, and really there's a lot of room for a lot of different people. So it's too bad it's so intolerant.
On the Joe Biden front, what can we do in North Dakota? What can the Republican Party do to affect any change there?
Well, again, we are a supermajority in the state of North Dakota. I mean, we need to continue to maintain that. We simply have to maintain our Republican seats in our districts, because when you do have strife in a state like North Dakota, that does leave a door open, a little door or a little window for Democrats to kind of jump in and get involved. So we have to keep that supermajority, and we have to make sure that we, you know, stay Republican strong in the entire state and bring that to the national convention.
What is the biggest threat to that? What would threaten our, you know, state having a supermajority of Republicans?
Well, I think that this is an opportunity. I mean, right now, what happens when you have a supermajority is I think people can get lazy. Maybe that's what's happened, is we've gotten a little lazy, and we have people in this big tent, in the Republican tent, maybe a little further to the right of the middle, that, you know, really have wanted to stand up for family values. And, you know, and maybe COVID was what drew the line in the sand a little bit. You know, there were people that came out and they stepped out for their family and for their freedoms, and it really brought people out of the woodwork. And during that time, there may have been people in the middle or to the left that were just not as vocal as the families wanted them to be.
Interesting. There's a text question here for you, Sandy. How do we address state representatives that vote with Democrats a large percentage of the time?
Whoa. Well, thank you very much. Good question. We have a platform in the state of North Dakota. We have a Republican platform, and it's on our website, and we believe that every, you know, the candidates that step forward as Republicans are supportive of that platform. Now, not everything on that platform, you know, there might be some disagreements here and there, but in most of its entirety, I would assume that Republicans support it. What can we do is, you know, that's kind of a drill down on a local issue that has been brought up numerous times in regards to maybe a Republican snuggling too close to the left. And, you know, those are conversations that I'm hoping that are happening on a local district level where a district chair, is maybe sitting down with that Republican lawmaker. And, you know, how can we get you to come closer to the left? But hey, I'm going to tell you something. Incumbents, you know, they can break their promises as well. Incumbents can break promises. And what is this idea that, you know, why is this idea that, you know, if they're still in there, that they can't be challenged? I mean, I think that's a unfortunate place to be, because if we have an incumbent that's breaking their promise, and somebody else is interested and is a great candidate, I think we have to let it play out.
Governor Doug Burgum is running for president, the governor of North Dakota, a Republican. I'm curious how that is impacting the Republican Party, maybe bringing a little more attention to North Dakota. I want to ask you that when we come back. Also, I have a theory on the biggest threat to the Republican rule, the supermajority rule in North Dakota, and that's Fargo. And when we come back, you have a special guest here that knows a little bit about Fargo and the efforts to, you know, just awaken the conservative voices that are there but aren't necessarily out front because they're needed. And Fargo is a big threat to the party in general, in my view. I'm going to see if you agree with my theory or not. When we come back on What's on Your Mind, more of your questions welcome here as well. Don't go away.
Ready to launch your small business or take your farm from some acres to a lot of acres? How about that big proposal?
Will you marry me?
Or that huge surprise? That forever dream home, one you can take anywhere. Wherever you are in life, be sure you're ready to say yes. First International Bank and Trust. Say yes to living first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Navigating the complex world of Medicare can be challenging, but you don't have to go it alone. The North Dakota Insurance Department offers free and unbiased Medicare assistance to all North Dakotans through the State Health Insurance Counseling Program. Counselors are available to assist with forms, claims, coverage options, appeals, and more. To speak with a counselor, call 888-575-6611 or visit insurance.nd.gov. This ad paid for by the North Dakota Insurance Department with funds from the Administration for Community Living.
Think about this winter. You're going along, snow blowing, and then you hit that uneven sidewalk or a large crevice in your driveway. The blower hits you right in the gut, and your hands hurt. Have you had enough?
Ramjack North can help. Level that concrete and put an end to your pain. Contact us now for a free estimate and to learn more at pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com. And have an easy winter.
H.A. Thompson & Sons, helping people for over 100 years save money by doing it right the first time. Now they build unique maintenance programs that apply a financial and mechanical solution to lower your owning and operating costs. They didn't like the old model in the industry, which was providing services and billing hours for repairs instead of getting paid for making your equipment run more efficiently and reliably. H.A. Thompson & Sons can tell you more. Call them at 223-3393, 701-223-3393, or at hatandsons.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Back on What's on Your Mind, brought to you by Gateway Building Systems. We understand the success of your farm is dependent on storage. Well, we've proven that the last few years, haven't we? As the number one Brock bin dealer in the U.S., Gateway Building Systems can provide you with Brock solid bins, grain dryers, millwright services, towers, conveyors, a whole lot more. That's what they do. They help farmers customize the operation. They want to do it for you, too. From planning and design to completed, clean, and efficient farm sites, You can rest assured knowing that Gateway will provide you with the best storage solutions. Make sure to take advantage of discounts on our Brock Solid bins. For more information, go to gatewaybuilding.com, gatewaybuilding.com. Another text I want to get to here, and then I'm going to go to my Fargo question. Ask Sandy if the Republican Party will rein in spending at a state level and focus on efficient state government that benefits all. It's a beef you hear from conservatives often, though, that we spend too much, even in North Dakota. We're blessed, obviously, with this bounty. We spend too much of it. Mm-hmm. Is that part of the party platform?
Yeah, fiscal responsibility absolutely would be. And that's a great question from the, what was that, a text?
Yes, text, yeah.
Gosh, I'd like to get to know this person. Great question. Yeah, during the legislative session, I mean, you know, they blew the budget. I mean, they spent more than, I mean, it was a historical spending in the legislature. So it is absolutely a concern, you know, to really go further into that, you know, we have been so distracted with, they call it cultural-like legislation, and yet we've taken our eye off of fiscal responsibility and the budget. So, we have to get back at being responsible there.
And that's a little touchy because you have Republican governors that are proposing spending. Obviously, in the case of Governor Burgum, you're having, majority leaders in the House and the Senate that are proposing the spending as well. So, that's sort of keeping Republicans honest about the bottom line and knowing that, and like I agree with you, if there's more focus on it, then they're going to be more careful about it.
Well, you always hear that it's actually easier to balance a budget when there's no money, and it's more difficult when there's too much money because they just spend. So we're not as conservative as I'd like us to be, that's for sure.
By the way, somebody said, Sandy is a huge step in the right direction for the Republican Party, no pun intended.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, kind people. Thank you.
Another question here from a listener.
Yeah.
Why did you suggest that we should primary Congressman Kelly Armstrong?
Are you asking or did someone?
A listener is asking this question.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for pitching that. I mean, this is great because I have an opportunity to say that is simply not true. That is simply not true. Did not happen.
Well, that was a comment we heard quite a bit during the election effort, leading up to the election effort for the chairperson. Right?
Yeah,
how could you put Sandy Sanford in charge of the Republican Party? She asked for Kelly Armstrong to be primaried, and you're saying that's 100%
totally
false.
Right. Well, the first time I heard about it was probably the 1st of June. It was 2 weeks before the roundup, the state meeting for the GOP. And in fact, that's maybe not right. I'm not entirely sure if I had even announced yet, so it was really premature. And there was, you know, some information that had come out from a blog, and it was absolutely not true. But at the time, I did call Kelly, Congressman Armstrong, and just, hey, where do you think this is coming from? Because it's just absolutely bunk.
And he didn't believe you called for him to be primaried?
Well, number one, what had happened, this is, hey, I'll tell you the truth, but you can't tell anyone, okay?
Okay, yeah, we'll keep it between us.
So last August, you know, he voted for the Marriage Act, and I contacted him immediately, and I asked him, I wanted to know why he voted for the Marriage Act, and why, you know, because number one, he didn't need to, they didn't need his vote to pass the Marriage Act, so I was just wondering why he did it. In North Dakota,
it was focused on gay marriage, right?
It was, yeah, and so I asked him why, because you know we have a constitution of marriage in the state of North Dakota. We have a platform, a Republican platform in the state of North Dakota, and as a constituent in the state of North Dakota, I called my congressman. And
so you had a difference of opinion with your congressman, but you didn't say you should be primaried.
I didn't say you should be primaried. I simply asked him why he voted that way, and I wanted to know from a legalistic standpoint. And from what I understand, he has a legal lawyer opinion on it. You know, the government inserted themselves into marriage, you know, in the 50s, 60s. And so there is a lot of legalistic scenarios that we have to consider with marriage. But I simply did call him and I asked him, and hey, I just went, why?
Yeah, which, by the way, we did on the show as well, and a lot of people did. So that's far from calling for somebody to be primary.
No, right.
Sounds like more fact-check false stuff from the blogsters.
Right.
Hey, listen, I want to talk a little bit about Fargo, because I have a theory, And you brought along Jennifer Benson. Jennifer's with the Center for the American Experiment and spends a lot of time in Fargo at the grassroots level, whether it be school boards, whether it be city commissions, whatever it takes, legislatures. I think Fargo is the biggest threat to the Republican Party. That if Fargo goes more and more blue, if you will, more and more Minnesota, the party's done. And because of sheer numbers and population. Am I wrong, Sandy?
No, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right. They say, if you get Fargo, you get the state.
Jennifer, what do you think?
Well, I would absolutely agree with you, Scott. And I think it is one of the biggest challenges that we face, but it also speaks to that level of accountability that you and Sandy were just talking about in holding our lawmakers accountable to this platform. And this is limited government. This is individual liberty and personal responsibility. These are all the things that, through my work on the school board, I was out there advocating for these things, right? Like, where are all of our leaders in this? And so we absolutely have a duty to the people, to be holding our elected leaders accountable, to the oath that they took. The oath that they took was to uphold, defend, and support the Constitution. And that means our liberties.
Are resources being put in more in Fargo than elsewhere, knowing that this is where the threat is from the state party, Sandy?
Not necessarily from the GOP, not necessarily. But I think that as we move forward into 2024, I think, I personally will probably see that change. I just coming in at 60 days, I do not see that. I see GOP work statewide at this point.
Got it. Here's a new ad that Governor Doug Burgum is running nationwide, and I want to ask you about the governor's run for president and how that impacts the state party. Go ahead and roll that, Kev.
In the race for president, there's one candidate tough enough to win the Cold War with China. Conservative governor and business leader Doug Burgum.
We need to stop buying energy from our enemies and start selling energy to our friends and allies.
As president, Burgum will strengthen America's energy independence, lower gas prices, and rebuild our military. Conservative Doug Burgum, a strong leader to take on China and win. Best of America PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, so that's nationwide, right? He's on the debate stage everywhere. Is this helping the party?
It is helping North Dakota. You say my husband was in the Burgum administration and worked with Governor Burgum for years. And, as he is running for president, every second he is out there, he's really shining a light on North Dakota and energy number one. Absolutely. No, energy, agriculture, everything that's wonderful about North Dakota. So it's great.
It's a great thing for the party. Yeah,
great for the party. Great for the state.
And where do folks find out more about the party? How do they support you?
NDGOP.org.
Pretty simple, NDGOP.org. And Jennifer, how about for the Center of American Experiment?
AmericanExperimentND.org.
These are two grassroots warriors, folks. I've seen them in action. I know. They are amazing individuals that do great work and support their efforts. And let's make Fargo ground zero of making sure that supermajority of conservatives continue to rule in North Dakota. Dopamine Nation in our focus when we come back on What's on Your Mind.
With a history in North Dakota dating back 70 years, Hess Corporation is committed to making a positive impact across communities in the Bakken. Hess, making significant commitments to improve our environment, targeting zero routine flaring by 2025. Committed to the production of clean, sustainable energy for the nation and the world through significant reductions in our carbon footprint. Hess, a trusted energy partner for North Dakota.
In college, you're standing at the doorstep of your life. With classes in engineering, philosophy, nursing, and more, you have the whole world at your feet. But at the University of Mary, we don't just get you ready for your career. We get you ready for your life. Because you were made for more.
U.S.
USA News Update. The White House says President Biden will be taking precautions in the wake of his wife's positive COVID-19 test. Tropical Storm Lee expected to rapidly intensify into an extremely dangerous hurricane, possibly a Category 3 in the Atlantic Ocean by this weekend, according to the National Hurricane Center. Former Proud Boys Chairman Enrique Tarrio sentenced yesterday to 22 years in prison for seditious conspiracy and leading a failed plot to prevent the transfer of power from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. Drug intoxication suspected in the death of a 32-year-old festival goer at Burning Man, where some 70,000 attendees were trapped in the remote Black Rock Desert in Nevada over the weekend due to heavy rains and thick mud. The official cause and manner of his death are still pending. Corey Myers, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What's on your mind? 28 before the top of the hour, brought to you by PetroServe USA, with some home cooking and grab-and-go convenience awaiting you today for lunch. How does lasagna sound?
Ooh,
sounds
yeah.
good, doesn't it?
It does, actually.
Lasagna, MP Avenue, downtown Fargo. Lasagna in Glendon. Breakfast, Tater Tot, Hot Dish, 12th Avenue and I-29. Sweetie's Meatballs or Taco Hot Dish, West Main Avenue, West Fargo. 45th Street location at PetroServe USA. Chicken fettuccine today. And by the way, try out the new car wash in Harwood. You're going to love it. They also have home cooking and grab-and-go convenience. So wash the car after yesterday's little rain. Now it's time to wash the car. Do it right there and have a great meal at PetroServe USA. Also, quick reminder that Kevin Flynn and I will be live from Rapid City, South Dakota at the Monument Civic Center there in Rapid City for the visit of President Donald Trump. He is speaking Friday evening, and we're going to be broadcasting live, Kevin, with the Need to Know Morning Show, and then sticking around for What's on Your Mind as well with yours truly. So a lot of fun guests lined up for that. It's going to be a great time. We're looking forward to it. That's brought to you by our friends at Dakota Refrigeration, by the way. We thank them. Also, Mark Wagner, ND Estate Services, the irrevocable living trust guy that can help you out there in many ways. And also Matt Moxness from Nodak Insurance. So we appreciate all of the sponsors that are making our broadcast possible to head for Rapid City. Next on the program, I want to talk about digital addiction with the author of Dopamine Nation. Dr. Anna Lemke is the professor of psychiatry at the Stanford University School of Medicine and chief of the Stanford Addiction Medicine Dual Diagnosis Clinic. So she speaks with authority about this issue, and face it, we are addicted to our devices. What do we do about it is the question. Dr. Lemke recently presented for the Dakota Medical Foundation Summit. I didn't get a chance to attend it, so I wanted to just get a little recap for others that didn't get there and learn a little bit more about this topic. Dr. Lemke, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
What does Dopamine Nation mean?
Dopamine Nation talks about the ways in which our world has become drugified, which is a way of saying that everything that we ingest and everything that we do has in some sense been turned into a drug, making it more reinforcing, more bountiful, more accessible, more novel, such that we've all become more vulnerable to the problem of addiction. Just to give a few examples, food has become drugified with the addition of salt, fat, sugar, and flavorants. Games have become drugified with things like video games. Sex has become drugified. Maybe in some sense sex was always a drug, but now you know it's very easy to access all kinds of mediums for that through the latest technology. So we're living in a world in which everything is more available, more reinforcing, and therefore we've all become more vulnerable to the problem of compulsive overconsumption.
How do I know if I'm digitally addicted?
Well, it's a great question. There is no brain scan or blood test to diagnose addiction. We base it on something called phenomenology, which is patterns of behavior that are observable across demographics, across generations. And the sort of essence of the diagnosis is the continued compulsive use of a substance or behavior despite harm to self and or others. Sometimes we talk about looking for the three C's: control, compulsion, and consequences, especially continued use despite consequences. So if you're wondering if you're addicted to your device, you might wonder if you have some out-of-control use, meaning that you plan to watch TikTok for half an hour and three hours later, you were still on. Yours truly can attest to those types of experiences. That in isolation wouldn't be enough, though. It would have to be also a kind of excessive, compulsive use. It would have to be continued use despite consequences. The kinds of trouble that people get into with digital addictions is things like not taking care of their bodies, not getting enough sleep, not eating, not exercising, their consumption of digital media interfering with their ability to do their schoolwork or their ability to do their job or interfering with relationships, their ability to be present as a spouse or a parent. Sometimes these are, soft calls. But I think what's key about addiction and diagnosing addiction and identifying addiction is that we are not great self-observers. So as we're chasing dopamine, we tend to lose a sense of true cause and effect. So if we have people around us saying, hey, you know, you're always on your device, or I really wish you could put that device down, or this one time could we go device-free, we should really be worried about that, because people who love us and care about us are noticing that the behaviors become compulsive, out of control, and consequential.
What is the overall consequence of what you just described? What will happen if we don't awaken to this?
Well, I think we're already seeing some of the overall consequences. Over the past 20 years, perfectly coinciding with the advent of the smartphone and the 24/7 access to the internet and digital media, we've seen a decline in overall well-being. Rates of depression are going up, rates of anxiety are going up, rates of addiction are going up. We've got a whole generation of young people who are, some of them, you know, endorsing suicidal ideation. We've got suicide rates going up. Now, the big question is sort of the chicken and the egg. What came first? Are these folks depressed and anxious, and therefore they're going on their devices more? Or is it that they're going on their devices more, so they're getting depressed and anxious? And I think it's a little bit of both, but that this the causal effect of being on the internet a lot can't be underestimated in terms of its detrimental impact on mental health. And the reason I think that's true is partially because we've seen this increase in depression and anxiety in the past 20 years. Of course, there are other putative explanations, but even more powerfully in our clinical work, when we get young people or old people or any people in between, they come in looking for help for depression and anxiety. Sometimes the first intervention that we'll do is say, can you get off your screen for a month? And what we're finding is that 80% or more of those individuals will feel less depressed and less anxious after a month of being screen-free or, you know, their particular digital media drug-free. Maybe it's that they're abstaining from pornography for a month, or abstaining from video games for a month, or abstaining from social media. And without our doing any other intervention, no medications, no psychotherapy, people feel better. And that is why I have become convinced, and many others as well, that excessive time spent on the internet really is making us more depressed, more anxious, and in some tragic cases, even more suicidal.
Listener asked the question, so if my face is buried in a book all day, I'm a prodigy, but if I'm reading news on my phone, I have an addiction?
Great question /comment. So, you know, these are judgment calls, and obviously there's a huge intersection with the culture as well, what culture condones and what culture doesn't. But as I talk about in my book, Dopamine Nation, even something like reading has become drugified. I myself developed a compulsive use of romance novels. Now, what made that possible? I've always been a reader, always enjoyed reading. But now, there's kind of a whole universe of romance novels, and they've cracked the code on exactly how to write them. I happen to be in possession of the knowledge. If you turn to about three quarters of the way through to any romance novel, you will get right to the point, pun intended. And what happened to me is that once I got a Kindle and could easily access romance novels, I became a chain reader. And once I became a chain reader, I developed tolerance, meaning that I needed more and more potent forms of romance novels over time to get the same effect. Pretty soon I was spending that 10 minutes between patients at work reading romance novels, and it was impacting my ability to be a parent and to be a spouse. So, it's not to trivialize the problem of addiction by comparing my compulsive use of romance novels to, somebody with like a heroin addiction. But it is to say that on some level, even what we consider to be healthy activities like reading a book or reading the news, have now the potential to be so accessible and so reinforcing and so plentiful that they can, on some level, hijack our brain's reward system. So, yes, you could get addicted to reading a book if you're like me and that's your particular drug of choice. And, yes, people do get addicted to the news. So neither of those things is an absolute yes or an absolute no. It really depends on the person, their particular drug of choice, and the phenomenology of the behavior that they demonstrate.
Who's worse in this category of digital addiction, parents, the adults, or the kids?
Yeah, it's an important to point out, I think, as this question implies, that parents are not modeling the right behavior or the kinds of behaviors. I'll see families where parents will come in and say, "My kid's on their phone," and even in the middle of "My kid's on their phone all the time. Can you can you make them get off?" And even in the middle of the session, the parent will go on their phone. So this is often a family systems issue. Not just digital addiction problems, but addiction more broadly is a family systems issue. And so we often have to intervene at the level of the family. And by the way, I want to acknowledge that, unlike alcohol, which people can choose to abstain from if they have a problem with alcohol, it's basically impossible to do that with digital devices and digital media and still participate in the modern world. So what we're talking about here when it comes to digital addictions is figuring out what are my problematic behaviors on the internet. What are the behaviors that once I stop, I have difficulty stopping, the behaviors that interfere with my goals and my values, the behaviors that I'm lying about online. And those are the ones that we try to intervene on. But we also look at quantity of frequency because that matters. We try to get people actually off of their devices for some period of the day. Americans now average approximately 8 hours a day consuming digital media not related to work but related to entertainment, which is really a shocking statistic. So when we intervene with families, what we do is to try to make parents realize that they need to model the behavior they want to see in their parents. And we help them come up with a behavioral plan that then applies to the whole family. Things like tech-free spaces, tech-free times, creating self-binding strategies or barriers, not having access to certain types of media, monitoring usage, making sure that kids under the age of 10 don't have unfettered, unsupervised access to the internet because that can very quickly, lead to things that the parents actually wouldn't want their kids to be viewing. So just kind of acknowledging both the wonderfulness of this amazing technology, but also its potential dark side.
Very, 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 very interesting. I would like to leave this conversation for our listeners with some tools, because obviously digital devices can do a lot of good. There's a lot of things you can be more efficient on and be on a beach somewhere, but still keeping tabs on what's happening back home. But then if it's 8 hours a day of scrolling, I mean, it's not. So some tips on how to use these devices for good and to weed out the bad is what I'd like to talk about when we come back after a short break with Dr. Anna Lemke, the author of Dopamine Nation, digital addiction expert from Stanford University, with us today on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away.
Brian Cronk here from Collins & Cronk, Raymond James. As a listener, you have probably heard me saying, stick to the plan during these difficult times. But what if you don't have a plan? No problem. Call Collins & Cronk today. We can design a recovery strategy for your portfolio to start a financial plan for you.
Call Collins & Cronk to get a recovery strategy for your portfolio and a goal plan for your life. 701-235-0119. Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Collins & Cronk is not a broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Discover Kinder Care. Kinder Care is assisted living homes located in West Fargo, offering adult daycare services, companion care, and assisted living. All the services you need available at Kinder Care, plus home-cooked meals, 24-hour security, personal care, and more, all in a cozy family environment located on 3 acres of land in a scenic, quiet country setting in West Fargo. KinderCareFargo.com or call 701-261-3246.
At Gateway Building Systems, we understand that the success of your farm is dependent on storage. As the number one Brock bin dealer in the U.S., we'll provide you with Brock solid bins, grain dryers, Millwright services, towers, conveyors, and much more. We've helped farmers customize their operations, and it's our mission to do the same for you. From planning and design to completed clean and efficient farm sites, you can rest assured knowing that Gateway will provide you with the best storage solutions. Make sure to take advantage of discounts on our Brock solid bins. For more information, go online to gatewaybuilding.com.
It's about tradition, values, and family ties. Pugwash Chevrolet's tradition of giving back to our community remains a priority, and that's why we've partnered with these local nonprofit organizations and events. And our tradition of giving this community a fair and honest offer continues as we promise to never charge over MSRP. And if you're not finding the perfect new vehicle for you, your lifestyle, or your budget, let us help custom order it for you at Pugwash Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What's on your mind? 11 before the top of the hour. Tomorrow on the program, by the way, always love to give you a little heads up about what we will be chatting about on the next edition of What's on Your Mind. We have, we're going to talk about water. This will be a fun conversation because Minnesota has some of the highest levels of arsenic in the drinking water. How do you know what's in the water, right? I'm a tap water kind of guy, but I want to know what's in the water. Bring in an expert, Bob George from Lindsay Ecowater, to talk about that. We're also going to talk with a Trump administration official in those 4 years. The fellow's name is Jerron Smith. He's written a book called Underserved, Harnessing the Principles of Lincoln's Vision for Reconstruction for today's forgotten communities. He is a rock star. I've interviewed him before. He's really amazing. White House Director of Urban Policy. You know, basically getting into these cities and making a difference. And then we'll talk with South Dakota's Republican Party Chairman to talk about the visit of President Trump to Rapid City all tomorrow on the program, and your calls, questions, and comments. A few minutes left in our conversation with Dr. Anna Lemke, recently in Fargo for the Dakota Medical Foundation Summit on Digital Addiction. You have laid out the case for, number one, what it is. Number two, what gets better if you cure yourself or back off to a reasonable use of these digital devices. How do we use the digital devices for good and lose the bad? Give us some tips here to make this easier to recognize the problem and maybe tackle it with a solution.
Sure. So I think one way to think about this is that, these devices are incredibly potent tools, and they're also, very potent drugs. And so when we're using them as a tool, that's great. When we're using them as a drug, we have to be a lot more careful. And I think we can look to people in recovery from severe addictions to the internet, and these people exist, and their addictions are real and in some cases life-threatening. If we look to them for sort of their rubric, that can be helpful informing our own, even if we're not struggling with that extreme addiction. And so when I work with people with extreme internet and technology addiction, by the way, just to clarify, this is people, for example, who become very addicted to pornography and compulsive masturbation, or addicted to video games, or addicted to social media, or addicted to online shopping, or just kind of generally polymorphously addicted to digital media, you know, a little bit of pornography, some video games, YouTube, TikTok, all over the place, spending enormous amounts of time, having serious consequences, getting more depressed and anxious. So when people with a severe addiction get into recovery, one of the things that they talk about, because of course they still have to use these devices and be on the internet, is that they are very mindful of when they're using the device to change the way they feel or for entertainment. Because when they're using it to change the way they feel or for entertainment, then they're using it as a drug. So I think that's just sort of one way to think about it. I know that helps me in my own life as I think about moderating my use. Like, well, what am I using this for? You know, am I scrolling my emails endlessly because I really need to read my emails and see what came in and take care of it? Or is this somehow kind of just a way to sort of look for something that will make me feel better or change the way that I feel? So what we recommend for folks is that they kind of identify what is the digital medium or digital, digital drug itself, and then ask people to actually do a dopamine fast where they abstain from that particular way of interacting with the internet for 4 weeks. Why 4 weeks? Because 4 weeks is about the average time it takes to reset reward pathways so that people start to feel less depressed, less anxious, more present in their lives, and less craving. They get out of that sort of cycle of craving. And then when they go back to using their device or maybe even using pornography or video games or social media or whatever it is, they're able to do it with a kind of reset reward pathway. They have more insight, more information. And then they can work on tools for moderating use. That's things like setting time limits, like an intermittent digital fasting, or maybe even a tech Sabbath, one day a week of no use of digital devices. It's things like, trying to complete a certain number of other tasks before using the device for entertainment or to change the way they feel, things like that.
I only have a minute left, but I want to also give parents some tools. Tough subject, right? Put down your phone. I know I need it for this. I just got to do this one thing, whatever. What can families do?
It starts with a conversation. Families need to sit down together, parents and children, no matter the age, and say, hey, you know what? These devices, they're amazing in so many ways, but let's talk frankly about the ways that they're not so great, the ways that they may be eroding our family togetherness, the ways that they're, you know, interfering with other things we might be doing. I think opportunity costs is something people don't think about, like, you know, that gardening project or that carpentry project or that family trip we were going going to do. You know, let's talk about ways as a family we can help each other limit the amount of time that we're on. And then we do know that the more time that kids and probably adults too spend on their devices beyond about 2 hours a day, the more likely they are to incur the adverse consequences. So obviously I'm not talking about kids doing schoolwork, but I am talking about using this medium to change the way they feel or for entertainment. And that includes movies, music, as well as the games and the social media. So really trying to think about limiting quantity and frequency as well, doing it together as a family, making it a behavioral plan. And if you've got a kid who's really, really addicted, take them to see an expert. You know, take them to see a specialist who maybe can come up with a more intensive treatment.
I'm going to add one more. Read Dopamine Nation to just really understand this, because it's here and it's real and the consequences are dire. Dr. Anna Lemke, thank you so much. We appreciate you. God bless, folks. See you tomorrow.
And Scott Hill, and I talked to Mike Lundell today. He wanted me to convey to you his thanks for all the support for MyPillow and the employees in these tough economic times. Mike says, Scott, let's get back to listeners. We have deals on his most popular products. You've heard me talk about my slippers. $29.99 right now. They used to be $100. Giza sheets, MyPillow 2.0 and more. But great news. The MyPillow 6-pack towel sets are back in stock. Comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. Regular $80 for a limited time. 6-pack towel set, only $39.99 with the promo code Scott. Go to MyPillow.com now. Use promo code Scott. 50% off the MyPillow 6-pack towel sets. $39.99 a set. The deal won't last long. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. For this special and many more, or call 800-506-9028. Go to MyPillow.com now. 800-506-9028. Use promo code Scott. 50% off the MyPillow 6-pack towel sets. Go to MyPillow.com now.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.